We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
The following is an encore segment of SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Hey, Ross. Awesome. Having a great week. How about you?
It's not bad. I'm
well,
great.
That doesn't sound promising, man. Jeez, you need to cheer up there, buddy.
Yeah, it's a long story. Anyways, I'm happy to be on the show. That's always a fun part
of the
week.
So we're going to cheer you up today.
What are the top five things to focus on when starting an SEO program on your own? I don't know. Why don't you take number one there, John?
Okay, this is nuts and bolts. The thing you have to know first before you start any program, what are you trying to accomplish? What are your objectives? What are your goals? How do you track those objectives and goals? And you know, it's interesting to note that most people don't really know what their goals are, or they think they know what their goals are when they're starting SEO, but they're looking at it much too granularly. You know, like Ross, how many times have you had a client say, I want to be number one for this term as their goal? You know, that's not a goal. You're going to do better reaching your goals of selling things online if you're number one, but that's a performance indicator, a KPI. It's not your goal. So understanding what your actual goals are, and then finding out the best ways to track those. What are some goals that you've had with clients, Ross, as far as you know what they actually needed to accomplish to have a successful SEO program?
Well, some clients, they all have different requirements. Some of them want just to increase their subscribers to their mail campaign. Some of them want to build more subscribers to their RSS feed. Some of them want more inquiries, leads. It's really diverse, and I think that's probably what makes my job interesting. What's been the most interesting one for you?
I think really it boils down to 9 times out of 10 they want to make some money somehow. The methodology that they're using to make that money, whether they're selling products, whether they're selling advertising on their site, and their goal is just more page views and unique visitors, the idea is they want money. And you know, finding out from an SEO perspective what you have to do to enable them to make more money. So if their goal is to sell more advertising, well, that means they need more page views and they need more unique visitors per month. So it's a pure traffic play, and your goals are traffic. And I've got a couple clients that's what their goals are, is more traffic, more traffic, more traffic. You've got other ones that want to set up appointments to come in and, measure the carpet for your measure your living room for new carpet, and their whole goal is to set appointments through their website for people to go out and measure people's living rooms, those kind of things. And you know, you're right, it's a wide variety of things, but it's all about making money for most people.
Yeah, that's definitely the easy way out. I mean, there's no question about it, the money.
Now, there's a couple things that I've seen that really get in the way of that from setting goals, especially if you're working, you know, and we're talking about doing this on your own, but let's say, let's take the carpet one, for example. Let's say to make an appointment to have someone come in and measure your living room, you actually have to call them. There's a phone number on the website, and how do you track that? So you got to be able to understand how to track these different types of goals as well, and each different one. You know, analytics, if it's a pure traffic play, you're going to install Google Analytics, and you're going to set goals and funnels through that. There's ways to track telephone numbers and calls now as well through call monitoring from the website. So really tied into setting those goals is understanding how you're going to track the success. And even before that, you got to set a benchmark. So you know what the goals are. You know how to track it. Now, where are we starting? We got this benchmark. My traffic is at, you know, 5,000 unique visitors a month now. So you have something to measure against as your program progresses.
Yeah, and you know, frankly, when it comes down to it, there's free learning of Google Analytics at the Google Analytics, whatever it is, university online. And whether you like Google Analytics, their program or not, it's a very good program to go through. And you're going to need to know a little, at least the basics on how to do this, do it properly, because it's critical. If you don't have the right tracking or mechanisms, you won't know just how well you're doing. For small businesses, I'd say, unfortunately, 8 times out of 10, the clients don't have the appropriate factors for tracking. And it's a bit frustrating when we get to it, because we're asked to improve things. We'd love to, but our baselines are nil, which is, I guess, good in some regards. You can't go anywhere but up.
But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Ross. I've been to analytics seminars, and I've been told by these people that live and breathe analytics every day that when they get in, they analyze 8 out of every 10 analytics installations are done incorrectly. So, you know, just understanding how to do that and how to track is extremely important.
And you know what? We should have that as another show. I imagine there is something already on the network that does analytics, but I think just an SEO-angled analytics show would be great.
Yeah, we can find some good people to get on for that, too. I know a couple of people that are really into the analytics side of things. They could give us some really good insights.
You know who my goal would be?
Of course.
Avanesh.
Of course.
Why not?
Hey, we reach high. We'll get him and Mr. Cuts on in the same show. I'm sure they'd enjoy.
Yeah, Pat Cuts and Avinash Kaushik. Yeah, I think that might be good for ratings. I'm just guessing.
It could be, yeah.
You know what? One thing I've learned over the years in business, it never hurts to ask.
That is true. You're not going to get what you want if you don't ask for it.
You got it. So especially that point number one was knowing your objectives or goals and setting up the factors for tracking success. Very, 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 very important. Without that, you know, you're up a creek. You just don't know.
The main thing will be that why start a program, you know, in SEO if you can't measure how effective it is? I mean, and the only way to measure how effective it is to know what you're measuring and how you're measuring it and where you started. That's extremely important. That's the first step, without a doubt. Number one, when you're starting an SEO program.
Excellent. So number two is competitor research and keyword research. And my favorite phrase I overuse all the time, don't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, that phrase should be banned, actually.
I know. I want to get a better one, but it's just it really resonates with people, so I'm like, all right, I'll just use it. It's like the word expert. I've just given up. I'm an expert. We're an expert, whatever. but, you know, don't reinvent the wheel. It's as simple as that. Competitor research is the key to saving you money, quite frankly. If you get out there and find out your competitors that are doing well under particular phrases. So, you know, which card comes first? Do you do the keyword research first and then competitors? I think so. Find out what people are searching for and find out which competitors are ranking well under the phrases you know you want to target. It could be the brass ring or the one you're really going for here. That's the one you analyze, because You know, why shoot low? Shoot high in terms of long term. Find out what it is they've done to get there, and have that intel when you're planning your campaign and what you need to do in step three, which is the optimization process. So I'll get you going on this a little more,
well,
John, and we can.
Well, just to stay in line with using the cliches, so we're on a cliche this time around. I say build a better mousetrap. If you're going to use competitor research, don't say, "Oh, they know what they're doing and they've got to, you know, do better than they're doing." They're not. The odds are, unless they've hired you or me, Ross, they can do better. You know what I'm saying?
You're always trying to top me. Of course he's trying to do better.
No, but I mean, better research is key, is completely important. Keyword research is important, but don't leave it at that. I mean, you got the competitor research, you take your keyword research, you apply it to your competitor's keyword research, and then you look at the big picture and say, okay, now we got to make it better. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And how do you do keyword research? That's a whole other show, and there are other shows, I'm sure, that talk about that. These are all different disciplines, but as a true SEO, you have to have understanding of all these different components, and it's sometimes not very fun trying to keep up to date on all of them, but it's critical, and keyword research is absolutely mandatory.
So let's say you're first starting out in SEO, Ross, and you've got your own business, or you were just hired on for a small business, and you're starting to do your first, not even your first, maybe you're starting to do an SEO program on your own. What are the main factors you're going to look at when you're doing your competitive research?
Well, first of all, let's see, I'm trying to think. It's easy when I'm thinking about it myself, and I'm trying to think from that perspective. I would go and find a checklist online, because remember, I'm assuming this person's very new to SEO, and if not a complete newbie, they were going to want to know what to look for on these sites that stand out as competitive advantages, and if you don't know, that's tough to do. So, short of hiring John or I, you could go and find a checklist online. I think I actually have one or two on competitor analysis, but find out what you need to look at. And such things as I like looking at the technology being used. It might be interesting to see that, again, these are only small parts of a major thing, but maybe they're all using WordPress. Interesting. Just a note. Okay, and they all seem to have a lot of great content. Obviously, that's important. Now, how have they disseminated that? Which areas, which social marketplaces have they been most active on? It's a good bet that whoever's done the marketing has already tried other social networks, discovered that they're not very effective, so moved on to the ones that are. And if they tend to be really active on a couple, and it seems to be a theme amongst different competitors, well, that's a really good indicator. Those are the ones you should start out with and stay with. Always look around, but that's a good start.
So those are things to look for. And I guess the better question I should have asked first was, how do you know which competitors to research? I've had clients come in and says, here's a list of 10 competitors. Well, I'm not going to do research on all 10 of these because half of them aren't even, you know, worth looking at from a search perspective. So how do I know which are the main competitors to worry about?
Good question, and we're going to answer that right after the break.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart, or you've read their SEO code of ethics, seen other SEO experts, but did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
InternetMarketingNinjas.com is the online dojo of the highly trained and skilled Internet Marketing Ninjas. Disavow documents, reconsideration requests, Panda and Penguin penalties. Let our superior SEO ninjas confront all of your link-related issues. The Internet Marketing Ninjas are equipped to master any marketing exercise, content creation, authorship, link building, PPC, and more. plus build more buzz for your brand with our social media marketing strategy. Discover all that the Internet Marketing Ninjas can do for you. Visit the online dojo now at internetmarketingninjas.com.
Oh yeah, my day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
The following is an encore segment of SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital.
Actually, are we still on point one? I can't even
remember. No, we're on point two now.
Point two.
two of five. We're working our way through.
Yeah. So can you just reiterate your question again there?
So you were talking about things to look at when you're doing your competitor research. And I've had situations where a client gives me a list of like 5 or 10 competitors and say, yeah, do research on these. Well, half of those don't even have any relevancy in search. How do I determine, or how would you recommend determining, you know, which competitors to analyze?
Well, I like to start off the basics. First, I do a search for the phrase and say it's my goal phrase. It's something that I think I could actually achieve within a certain period of time. And perhaps I'd talk to other people about it to know whether that's the case. Assuming I'm a newbie, that's what I'd have to do. You want to be sure you've got somewhat realistic expectations. Don't go for cars. You know, again, this is one of my favorites. Don't say you're going to go for cars. That's not going to happen anytime soon, if ever. So then I do a search and I see who's in the top. You know, if I see guys like Amazon, don't bother doing a competitor analysis against them. These guys have so much clout, it's no wonder they're number one. I try and find businesses that appear to be the same level as me or not far off. And I think that's critical because otherwise you're dealing with massive budgets and massive, you know, you want to find something that's within your realm. Then at that point, it's determining whether or not they're number one under more than one ranking. Are they around? Are they doing well in a variety of places? And if that's the case, then I start to really hone it down to a few top contributors. And there's so many different ways of going about this too. So I'm curious to see what you say, John.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and I've over time realized that when a client or your boss gives you a list and says these are our competitors, they may not have any idea what your real competitors are in search. Those might be the competitors in the local market. They might be the people that they see television or newspaper ads for, advertising the same kind of stuff. But they don't really understand or know. It's not they don't understand. They just haven't taken the time to know where the competitors stand in search. Because you know, we're doing SEO. We're doing search engine optimization. We're competing for a space in search. It doesn't matter if the competitor's the biggest seller of toasters in town. If they're not competing on search, we're not going to worry about them as much as we're worrying about the other guy in town who is doing well in search. He's where that's our competitor from an SEO perspective. So a lot of times I'll go back to the client, or you can go back to your boss and say, no, this is really our competitor, and here's why.
Yeah, well, in this case, we're talking about someone doing it on their own, so they are the boss, I'm assuming. Then again, they could be the person that's just a one poor soul that has to do all the SEO in house.
That's true. But that also applies. So you may go into this competitive research with a preconceived notion of who your competitors are and find out that you were completely wrong in search, because the competitors that you know and you've heard about time over time are not performing in search, but they're performing outside of search.
Site optimization would be next. You know, because you got the keyword research, you've done the competitor research. We now would take what we've learned and we apply it to the website.
Yeah,
the research definitely. We've done, you get all that information, it's time to reply it. Now, one thing I noted here, which I think is important, is you may have found, oh my God, just like you said, I didn't really realize what it was going to take to get there. I think I had to reevaluate my goals, expectations, I should say, and just determine maybe that a particular and I guess it does lead to the goal. Mm-hmm. Determine whether or not the goal you're looking for is really going to be achievable with any short period of time. And if you can always have long-term goals, don't get me wrong, but you also want to have some short-term stuff. There's nothing worse than saying, I want to be making $1 million a year and you're just starting a business. Well, you know, you start off a little smaller just as a personal consultant. You know, it's going to take some time.
Or start Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, and you might make more million than that.
Yeah, exactly. But I think also, you know, you're absolutely right. You have to reevaluate. But the important thing about this step, you know, when you're starting your SEO program, is you take that research, the competitive research, the keyword research, your understanding of what your goals are, and you apply it to your website. So you look, okay, I've identified these keywords, you know, 50 keywords that I really think are relevant. Do I have content on my site to support those keywords? Do my competitors rank better because they have a lot more links based on this topic? Do I need to get more links on this topic? So you look at that research and you apply it to your website to see, okay, where's the low hanging fruit? Another cliche. we ought to. I'm taking a break here. We ought to try to do a cliche free show someday. I definitely would be up for that.
And jargon free.
Yes, well, that's impossible.
Ooh, the two, that'd be just brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even want to do that. But you look at this research that you did, and you say, okay, where are some action items that I can take out of this research? I need content for these keywords. I need links for this content that I already have because my competitor is doing better on these terms. So you can actually start developing your overall plan and strategy, you know, based on that. And again, it's important to note at this point, if you're talking about site optimization, that your site has to be crawlable. You have to look at the basic SEO stuff. You know, if you're building links and building content, it doesn't matter if the search engines can't access your site because you got a robots.txt that's blocking everything, all the spiders. You know, so it's prudent to say that you got to make sure that your site's accessible to the engines first. But once you have that, once you know that, use your research to really build where you can build easiestly. Easiestly?
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Easiestly. That was a really good one.
Wow. So we're going to do another show with all made-up words.
Oh, brother. Okay, yeah. So let's moving on here. So site optimization based on results of research. There we go. So you've done that, you've applied it. And then the one that's absolutely – yeah, all these are critical, but this one just really resonates with me. But when, and then commit to it. That's the key. Oh my gosh, it's so hard, and I know it's hard for everyone. Everyone's busy, and the last thing they need to do is add to their week work. But you've got to be realistic too. You can't say I'm going to write every day. No, you got to be realistic. Something that you can actually commit to, because content is critical. Forgetting, I'm not going to say that word. Content is, I'm not going to do another cliche. content is critical for getting the kind of links you need online. And that's what we're going to be going to next year. But really, you need that content out there. It builds credibility in your industry. It builds the kind of follow, I'm almost about to make up a word there too, subscribership.
No, hang and make up a word.
Followership,
followership.
Yeah, followership. That was the one I was going to do. Oh yeah. So English majors cringe. Yes. So creating a content strategy. You know, and in terms of that, what does that mean? It means okay. So you've looked at your competitors. You've discovered wow, they've you know this. You might have found that a few types of articles have done really well. Maybe they were even linked to from the Huffington Post, or maybe they're linked to from search engine land. You know, in everyone's market's got the big guy, right? And in this case, you can learn from that content and go, all right, well, this is something that seems to be really resonating with people, and they're linking to this, and they're getting content out there. So let's do more of these, and then think of different ways and how you can cross market the key phrases within your site. You know, try and build off that so that you can then have links going to that particular service page in your site, or another thing that will ultimately lead them to the funnel of getting an inquiry or whatever goal you're looking for. Content strategy is absolutely vital and it's so often overlooked.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, another great aspect about having a content strategy is, you know, what you were saying about commitment, Ross. So if you commit to publishing on a regular basis, you're doing a couple of things. One, you're building your trust with your readership because you're putting out content on a regular basis. But from an SEO perspective, what you're doing is you're creating more content. I know that sounds simple, but what happens is, let's say you have a 50-page site, and to put it in as basic a terms as possible, let's assume that each site is targeted to one main key phrase. You can only rank for 50 pages, and you can get the traffic from 50 different types of queries, you know, because you've got 50 pages of content. But if you have an ongoing content strategy and you're committed to continually publishing content, 6 months from then, you now have 300 pages of content, and you can be found for 300 different terms, 300 different sets of keywords, and your reach into the engines, your reach into your market has increased 6 times. So content is not only about just providing what your readers want, but it's also about expanding your reach into search engines.
Mm-hmm. And if you consider the fact that you've also got tags, you've got how many other different ways of finding a particular blog post in, say, WordPress? I mean, if you want to, way more than one. That's for sure. So
tags,
it's exponential.
Tags, categories, archives. And okay, since we're talking about that, there's a myth that's been going around for the past couple of years about tags and categories in WordPress. And since you brought it up, I'm gonna address it. So people say, don't use tags, categories, and archives. You should nofollow your categories and your archives and only use tags, or nofollow your tags and your archives and only use categories because of duplicate content issues. That's bogus. Don't listen to people that tell you that. And if they say, no, I'm right, point them to me because I'll debate them all night. The only thing you do to prevent that issue, instead of no following all these different potential pages on your site, is just put a little policy in place that says I can't have a tag and a category that's called the same thing. It's that simple. You don't want a tag that says weekly showtimes and a category that says weekly showtimes. Yeah, you're going to have duplicate content. You know, if you don't have that issue, it's not an issue. So just, I had to vent a little.
Well,
sorry.
No, it's good. Well, the thing that gets me is if you have the more text, that's not used enough either. And for those that don't know what I'm talking about, let's say, again, we're both WordPress fans here. So if you're using WordPress and say something like Headspace, where you can add customization of more text, essentially what you're doing is you're adding read more at some point within the article you've just written, say after the first two paragraphs. And once you've posted that, all the different categories and tags may show that article, but only up to that snippet. So it's a snippet. It goes right up to the read more, and then you click on that, and every single one of those are all going to go to one page.
And they're all going to be
relevant.
The
only page on your site that has the full article.
Yeah, and they're all going to be relevant to the same topic and a tag. So if you have a tag about Ross Dunn, you need to get a life. But if you have a tag about Ross Dunn... Sorry, buddy.
You're so going to get that back. Okay, go on.
All the articles with that tag are going to be about Ross Dunn. So you created a very relevant page on that topic. And that relevant page is now going to pass relevancy to all those articles too. So you're building this relevancy funnel within your site instead of no following at all and losing all that advantage.
Okay. Yeah, I got distracted there.
Sorry.
Boiling. No. On that note, let's take a break.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
ShipStation helps online retailers ship orders faster. It's so easy to set up and use. ShipStation gives you tools to automatically import, manage, and ship your orders in the most cost-efficient way. Save money with the best USPS rates possible, as well as a free USPS account. ShipStation integrates with all the most popular e-commerce platforms and shipping carriers, Get shipping done no matter where you sell or how you ship. WebmasterRadio.fm listeners get an additional 30 days free after the free 30-day trial. Go to ShipStation.com/WebmasterRadio now. Shipping Nirvana starts here.
Building better search engine rankings takes the right formula. Tracking those rankings is super simple. All you need is AuthorityLabs.com. Authority Labs uses automated daily rank tracking tools to monitor your site's performance or leverage their API to build your own tools. No matter what animal-labeled algorithms affect your ranking, you should be using Authority Labs. Unlimited users for no additional cost and white labeling can help keep your clients updated and save countless hours of creating reports. Whether you're running sites with just a few or millions of keywords, what you need is AuthorityLabs.com.
When you started your business, you first listened to your professors. Now that your business is growing and gaining ground, you only seek out professionals. PPC Professionals, an industry leader for highly optimized search marketing campaigns with over 30 years of combined management experience. Our professional approach to every campaign helps you find every avenue of revenue so that you can not only stay ahead of your competitors, but get a return on your investment and increase your bottom line. PPC Professionals, personal, professional, PPC services, ppcprofessionals.com.
Introducing Rumble, the smart mobile management system, the first end-to-end mobile platform where you can make real-time app modifications from a point-and-click dashboard. Want to change the design of your app? Point-click, and it's live in real-time. Want to change the ad map of your app? Point-click, and it's live in real-time. Want to change the content mix of your app? Point-click, and it's live in real-time. Power your mobile business with Rumble.
Are you ready to rumble?
Visit www.rumble.me.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
The following is an encore segment of SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital.
We're discussing how much John loves to rib me, and...
I'm sorry, dude. It was just there.
It's okay. Just don't be sorry. I won't be sorry when I get you back for it. Okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
So we were at content strategies and how important it is to create a content calendar and commit to it. Really, you got to commit to it. It's so easy for these things to fall off the rails. And, you know, say you get sick. Yes, you're going to be off for a little while. Your content may not be there, but you can make a backup for that. Let's say you always keep one article that's not time-based. You know, doesn't have to be done yesterday. That you can use at any time if you're absolutely in dire need. So you don't feel like writing one day or you're not feeling well, then you can always post this. So you're not missing anything. Now, I am so not practicing what I preach. I've got absolutely the worst etiquette for writing content, but I know how important it is, and I know that my clients have to do it. I'm just really bad at it myself.
Yeah, you're much better than I am on my own personal stuff. I think the last time I posted on my blog was probably close to a year ago at this point. So
I'm so proud of the drafts I've got set up in my blog right now for Stepforth, but I can't get to finish them. They're so good, though. Every time I think of a good idea, I go there and I add it, and then I put a link of what the content's going to be about, and then I get links to the content, and they're going to be great when I get around to them. Yeah. Assuming they're legible. So, number five.
So, you can't talk about content as a part of SEO without talking about link building as part of SEO. And realistically, you got the same issue with content that you do with link building. You need to create an initial strategy. You need to understand your plan for link building, whether it be using a variety of techniques through article distribution or just the basic link building stuff, or using a more social media approach to link building. You got to have that plan in place, and it's one of the first things you need to set up in the initial beginning of your program, without a doubt.
Yeah, and I think that, again, it's knowing your market, knowing who your audience is and where they're going to be hanging out. Don't go to every single social media hub and go nuts. You've done the competitor research. There's no reason to do that. You know where they're going to be. hanging out. You know where they're going to be more interactive, hopefully, because their competitors have already done it. Now, there are instances where competitors are still just jumping into social media. I had that recently. And when we did our analysis of our competitors, we really weren't that blown away by how much they knew already. But there were a few granules we got out of it. It was worthwhile.
And same thing from earlier, going back to the cliche thing, you know, build a better mousetrap. Just because they're using Facebook doesn't mean they're using it well. Doesn't mean you can't do it better as well. You know, from a link building perspective or a networking perspective. I mean, I think it's either already happened or within the next couple months, the prediction is that Facebook is actually going to send more traffic out to websites than Google does. For the first time ever, someone's going to send out more traffic. It's going to be a bigger resource for traffic than Google, Facebook itself. So it's scary, but it's important. You have to understand how these things work, and you have to be in all these spaces. And we already know that a lot of these social sites, the data coming out of these social sites, the content and the links and the activity on these social sites is already being applied to the organic search algorithms. So it's like you can't ignore social. It's great for link building, but it's also going to impact your other aspects of your organic program as well.
Facebook. Still surviving here. I guess can't stand it. Anyway, it's just the worst usability in the world, but I know it's necessary, which is why I'm on it a lot. I have to admit, I have to, we have to keep up.
You got to be there. What's our Facebook page again, Ross? Big test here?
Facebook.com/SEO101podcast.
There you go. Nice. I'll stop tweeting you now.
Please do. So I guess, we might as well wrap up. We've got that question answered. We hope we answer the questions you're looking for. When we were looking at this, we realized there's probably different ways you can look at this question, and we just pray that we got it right. And something that I wanted to just actually close up with here is the other view we were looking at when we weren't thinking of starting. We're thinking of what you would do if you were just doing SEO on a regular basis. What were the top five things? I'll just rattle them off because they'll make a lot of sense based on what we were just talking about. First three are actually the same. Knowing your objective goals and setting up factors for tracking success was number one. Number two is competitor research and keyword research. Don't reinvent the wheel. Number three was site optimization based on results of research. Number four is committing to a level of engagement within a campaign, i.e. writing weekly, link building, all the things that you're going to require to keep your reputation, essentially what I call reputation enhancement, is an ongoing thing.
The days of build it and they will come are long gone.
It brings to mind this quote I read. It was Stefan Spencer. He was saying he absolutely cringes when someone comes in and says, "I just completed my SEO." You don't complete your SEO. It's something you do ongoing, and I have to admit, I use that phrase once in a while, and I'm like, it always bothered me too, but I guess I just got so used to using it. Nothing completing about it, you got to do it on a regular basis, and that's part of the commitment, re-optimizing pages or whatever.
Yeah, when people tell me that, my first question back to them is, "Oh, when did you shut down your website?"
It's like, I'm going to use that one too.
Yeah, SEO is integrated into and what I tell people, you don't SEO your websites. You don't SEO your websites. You SEO your business. It has to be integrated into your business processes, to everything it has to do with what you're using your website for. And most likely, unless it's like your personal blog, it's part of your business plan, part of your structure. So SEO needs to be integrated into the business.
One of the things I was looking at your let me finish this first, though, I guess. So that was number four. Number five, and this is, again, for anyone who's doing this, this is not for starters. This is for long term, the top five things to do long term. Number five is regular evaluation of success and keeping up with the obvious signals. When I put obvious signals in there, I meant like Google Webmaster Tools. Come on, it's about as obvious as it gets. Go there and make sure everything's clean, looking good. And the latest news. We're always reading. John and I are like, John told me about something today I didn't know about it. I was like, God, I can't keep up with this stuff.
The little blue arrow?
The little blue arrow, which we'll talk next time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We'll probably hopefully know more about it, too, because it's pretty new. For those who don't know what we're talking about, there's a little blue arrow that now appears in Google search results. Is it on every search?
Everyone that I've seen, but I don't know if it's been distributed globally, or if it's just, you know how they do, they'll enable it for certain sessions and stuff. So
anyways, there's a lot of conjecture about what it is, and then we're dying to fill you in on it once we know more too. So we will indeed do that. And I've lost track of what I was going to do after this, but I do have this presentation coming up this weekend on SEO and social media and how they connect, and I got your notes from it. One thing I thought was here that you put, and I wanted to hear what you said around this, was SEO can be done by anyone. All the info is online, quote unquote, was a myth. So what was your response to that?
Basically, that most of the info online is old or inaccurate. So if you're taking, if anybody wants to get into SEO these days, they really have to understand what's right and what's not. And a lot of people, if they're just jumping into it, trying to be self-starters like a lot of us were in the beginning, and they don't have a mentor or someone to help them, guide them through this mass of misinformation online, they're going to have problems, and they're not going to be able to
write mentor.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. So from that perspective, is anybody can't do it unless they have someone that can guide them through the mess that's the information about SEO online right now.
If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google Plus. You can also email me via ross@stepforth.com and or reach John via Twitter @JohnCarcutt. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 11 a.m. Pacific on Wednesdays. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.